Hello, everybody. Waiting on Darcy to join. She's having some internet issues, so we'll give her a moment.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Dennis.
Hope you all had a nice weekend. You
I
got
did
if
it.
you got a weekend.
I lost my phone in a waterfall. So that was mostly what I did
Oh
over the
no.
weekend, was trying to get my life back.
I don't know how to comment on that because it sounds interesting that you were at a waterfall. Maybe that was nice.
It was
But
nice.
losing your
Yeah, it was
phone would be
nice.
terrible.
It was bad. It was not just my phone. It was my phone, credit card, driver's
No.
license. So it was
No.
the whole shebang. Yeah.
Oof. That's not a fun process.
Yeah. All right, Darcy, I tr was trying to set up the meeting note template, but for some reason I have a new computer and for some reason it was not letting me log in. So I did not get a chance to do that. If you can take care of it, that'd be great. Thank you. All
No problem.
right. All right. Hello, Kitty. All right, I think we can probably go ahead and get started. Update for, well, several of you on the call will know this already, but just a quick update from the Galileo perspective. We have we will be live. We'll have Folio live in a few weeks, but we're not going to make the cutover from Alma until the winter break. We just kind of ran out of time to finish testing everything that we needed to test. A few things weren't there by the deadline that we had established. So we made the decision to that we were kind of out of time for a summer release, and we needed to push it until the winter break. So that's what we'll be doing from Galileo. That said, we are continuing full steam ahead with testing and everything else. So we will be once we get access to our latest environment with the fresh data, we'll be back in there and testing. Any updates from anybody else on the call? Okay, let me go ahead and knock out the WolfCon update real quick, and then I'll hand it over to you, Dennis, to run through your tickets that you wanted to get some feedback on. So WolfCon, the schedule, I don't know that it's been communicated, but the schedule is a draft version of the schedule anyway, is up. So let me find that real quick. Well,
Yeah,
no,
I
it
think
needed
I
to.
just saw it was released.
It was released.
As I was switching to this channel to
Okay.
get the agenda, I saw somewhere else that it had, wherever I was, that it had
Okay.
been released.
That
That
was
was
cool.
I've received emails and things about sessions, so.
And you can, I mean, this is not hidden,
Oh.
right? This is wolfcon2025.sked.com is, yeah, so it's, publicly accessible. So I wanted to bring that up real quick. I just did a quick search by consortia, keyword consortia, just to give you a sense of what's going on. This folio for consortia one is the one that we submitted. So you see Vivian, myself, and Dennis associated with that. And that has been accepted, and that will be Tuesday at 1:10. So we'll be talking about our implementations and how it's going. And as I just updated you on, Galileo will not be live on Folio at that point, but we should have fully tested the system and have it in an environment where we can play around with it with our own data over the course of the fall semester. A couple other ones here. COA in Kansas, harnessing the power of Folio with enhanced consortia support, which is a EBSCO and others session, and then one here on OpenRS that I'll be also being involved with, GoKB and Alma Reshare Crosslink, which is another Crosslink is another resource sharing initiative that's underway, and those are the ones that came up with consortia. If you want to see everything, of course, just you can go there and look at everything. I believe registration is open at this point. It's like it is. And the schedule is there as well. So I encourage everybody to go ahead and get registered, start making your plans. It's coming up just a couple of months. I also need to register and make my plans. I haven't done it
So do I.
yet,
Yeah.
all right. So yes, I apologize for a little bit of chaos over the last few. I've just been insanely busy, as you might imagine, with our planned cutover and then not cutover. So we've had some other high priority things I've been working on. But here we are back on schedule. So I believe the plan here, Dennis, was for you to go through the couple of high priority tickets that have been assigned to you and see if there's an opportunity to get some feedback from the team here. I did also put reiterate the call for additional voting, ranking, whatever, to the Folio generalist earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday. I can't remember. Yesterday. So, all right, take it away, Dennis.
Thanks very much. So yeah, I'm going to share essentially, well, this is Jira, but this is the list that is linked to from the voting. All I've done here is I've sorted it by me being the assignee, because we're going to look at the features that I have on this list. So this
So
isn't
just as a quick
necessarily
reminder, if you so if I do this every time, you can
cool.
change the everybody who's watching this right now. If you click on the three dots to the right of Dennis's name at the top, you can change the zoom in. So change it to, I've got it at 100% right now, and it's a lot easier to read than what it defaults to.
Nice. Yeah, thank you for that. So we're going to look at I'm going to sort of talk through these features, and if you have, if you have feedback to share or questions, please add those. As we go through, I will either build a comment and leave it on this feature, or I may update the description if there are questions in the description, things like that. So the idea here is to go through these features that are higher priority, it seems, to this group, and maybe clarify exactly what they are. If you voted on this thing and it's actually totally different than what you expected, then obviously you could adjust your vote. If you haven't looked at these things yet, and this seems like something that you're actually really interested in, then you could always add a vote for it. So I think the idea here will be we're going to kind of refine these things and also bring them to the attention of the community a little bit, in order to help kind of speed the process of these things ultimately being implemented. So we'll take a look at this UX Prod 4270 first. And this may be one of the most fleshed out of the features on this list. The idea, or I guess the use cases behind this feature, are an ability to share aspects of vendor data across the consortium. So at the moment, with Folio with ECS enabled, each tenant has its own organization records and thus its own vendor records. He's really kind of early on in the process of talking with consortia. It was one of the things that was of interest to consortia in general, was the ability to have some of those vendor records or some of those organization records, or maybe just some aspects of those organization records, be consistent across all the tenants, be shared across all the tenants. So the idea here, the consortia can make their organization records visible to one or more agencies in the consortium, The yeah, allow the modification of designated portions of, so some of those, if an organization record was shared, some of those accordions, basically, you have like contact information, you have contact people, you have account numbers, you have all these different aspects of a vendor record. Libraries would need to be able to add only their account numbers or only their contact people, to that record. And if and when they are looking at that record, possibly only see the information that's relevant to their institution. So that is the high level, I guess, of this description. I could show an organization record if folks aren't really familiar with this. Maybe this will help your minds around it. Just go in here really quickly. So we're talking about the organization's app. And this is just a single tenant folio, but you can just to kind of highlight an organization record. There's a lot of data here, right? So the idea of this would be that the library would be able to share, the libraries would be able to share the high level details of a vendor record across the entire consortium. And individual institutions would be able to augment that with their own kind of local or specific information, like maybe specific contact people that they work with, or specific terms that they have with that organ with that vendor, specific accounts that they have, that type of thing. Specific notes, obviously, that they have for that organization, those types of
There
things.
would just be one organization record, one basically.
So there would be one organization record that appears in every tenant. So it would have a single code, like it would have a global name and code.
Files, for instance. We keep our connection information with the vendor in the organization record, like to go in FTP files from them. That's where we keep that data. So I don't know if that would that work.
Say that one more time.
So we have, five different, or I guess three or four different acquisition libraries, ACK units within our little consortium, here at Stanford. And each one of us has a separate organization record for Gobi, for instance. And we in the interface section of the record, we keep our connection information, and then we have an outside process that says, okay, go find new files that they've got for us and uses that connection information. And then it goes and fetches those files and loads them. So, in this sort of scenario, would sharing a vendor record even work if you need four different
Well,
sets or however many different sets of interfaces?
the interfaces, I suppose it could work. It'd be similar to how contact people are managed. Like basically, when you create a contact person, that is an object, and you're just assigning it to an organization record. So it would be a similar problem that we would have to allow local libraries, have to allow libraries to assign local interfaces, meaning only my library can see this interface when we look at the organization record. Which, yeah, that is essentially the idea. So you would have interfaces that you are creating in your tenant and assigning to the shared org record. But if I was in another tenant and I looked at that organization record, I wouldn't see those interfaces because those interfaces only exist in your tenant. I'm looking at the shared record, but I'm only seeing the interfaces that either the that are from the central tenant that were added from the central tenant, because those can be seen everywhere, or the ones and alongside of the ones that I've added for my tenant, if that makes sense. So I think, essentially it would work in your scenario. And you have the separate organization records in your system because it's one system and you want to have different codes for each, right? In this
Yes.
scenario, you would be separate tenants. So even though it's the same code, it's in the context of a specific tenant. So if you had integrations with Gobi or something like that, or you're looking at your purchase orders and you're filtering by the organization code, you would only see your orders because your stuff is in your tenant and other libraries are in other tenants. Yeah. Lloyd, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, a problem I see is we have members which have kind of completely different, their relationship with the same vendor is structured differently. So like you might have a one library has three separate accounts with Baker and Taylor, one for videos, one for children's books, one for regular materials or something like that. And another might have a single account with Baker and Taylor. How would that function in this structure?
So it would be a similar idea. Like accounts are an object that you associate with an organization record, is a way of thinking about that anyway. So in the context of tenant, like library A, I look at this shared organization record. I have created accounts and associated them with this record. In the context of library B, I don't see that account information because that account information is actually in a different tenant. So I can see the shared record because of the magic that's going on, coordinating all that stuff. But I add my own accounts for that organization that only users in my tenant can see. And of course, use for any integrations that you may have that kind of rely on account information.
Okay.
So I'm having, I
Yeah.
mean, I'm looking at, can you scroll back up, Dennis? I mean, the information that is definitely going to be applicable, across the board is fairly limited here, right? It's the name. What's the name?
Yeah.
I mean, what else? Everything else
Name.
could be could be different from tenant to tenant. So
Yeah,
I don't know.
status.
I think John is this John Stevens, I think, is the John that's on right now. He may have some thoughts because I know some of this is we use Consortium Manager to manage our vendor relationships right now. So perhaps he's got some insight into how it's managed there. I don't know. It seems to me like, I mean, there certainly could be some benefit to this, but in cases where you've got libraries doing a lot of their own purchasing locally, the benefit is going to be fairly limited.
Yeah. Yeah, and sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to jump in to confirm. Yes, I am Lucy's John. And yeah, also. Yeah, how important is it to us, managing similar processes and consortium manager and otherwise? Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at it some more.
Yeah. In this, if this was done, it would still be possible, obviously, to have local organization records. Like if every library wants to maintain their own, they certainly can do that. This functionality would basically be like an added benefit of the central tenant, basically making it possible to have certain organization records that were shared across the system, Or all the records. I mean, depending on how the consortium wants to do this or manage this.
I feel
But
like I'm being short-sighted. What would be the benefit of that?
I think originally the benefits that were highlighted were just less administrative burden, like managing addresses and contact people and those details. Yeah.
And the terms are they're not the same as licenses, right? I'm sorry. Terms are the specific terms in a license that somebody has said that should be associated with this record for surfacing publicly, right? What are terms? Let me just ask it that way. What are the
Vendor terms. Yeah, that's they can the terms are r essentially pretty open here. Let me show you. So edit this guy. You can add terms and describe what those terms are
Oh,
and
okay.
reference like a URL that maybe
Okay.
is where that term is defined. Yeah. So in previous conversations, these are all the use cases that were collected that essentially supported having locally defined information, pretty much like you said, like basically for everything, like every accordion, contact people, privileged donor information, notes, interfaces, integration details, account numbers, better terms.
I mean, I
So
could
it's
see this.
sound. Go
I could
ahead.
see this being beneficial for us, specifically if there is, essentially negotiated license, and we want to sort of make the individual libraries, aware of, who that is and what the terms are. Most of the time in those situations, if it's something that we're managing centrally to the point that we would have a central record, we would also probably be the ones contacting that vendor, dealing with any issues that would come up with that vendor. So having, all of that information in there, might not actually be beneficial. We might not want people calling Alexander Press, directly for a if it's a centrally negotiated license. Conversely, if they're going to put their local information in there, I'm not sure there's that much benefit to having a central record because it's just going to be, very different from local library to local library.
Yeah, this would. So the way that this was mocked up here, I don't know if this is actually something you can really see in the screen share. Hopefully, it's like
It's a
legible,
little, I mean,
not
it's
really.
a little blurry, but we can get the gist.
Yeah, it's a little blurry on my screen too. But yeah, the idea is like if you add a contact person, so if you're adding things from the central tenant, at least in this design, those things would be shared, i.e., they would appear everywhere. It sounds like, based on what you're saying, that actually might not be what is desirable because, like, the cons at least if the consortial entity is maintaining the records, there are certain things like contact people that you may not want to be shared. Like you might actually want that to be something only the central staff can see. But yeah, the design here was to use the share icon that's used for other areas of the system, like cataloging, to indicate that something is a shared record. to indicate that aspects of this are shared things versus other things that are local to your tenant. So if I'm looking at, if I'm in the context of my active affiliation is Library A, this contact person, because it has no little icon, would be a local person. So I only see that because my active affiliation is Library A. If my active affiliation was some other library, I wouldn't see that person there. But I should see, even when I'm in the context of Library A, yeah, I should see the shared contact as well. Unless we had a feature that allowed the central tenant to decide, even for the central data, what is shared, and some of it is shared and some of it is not shared, which would be actually a little more complex than what we've done in other areas of the system. But it sounds to me like, let me just check the voting on this. So it is only a single vote. And I mean, maybe that is representative of everyone's level of interest here. Like a fair bit of work was put into this feature because it was originally identified as like an important or relatively important thing. But over time, it has continued to kind of be deprioritized, or at least other things have been indicated as much higher priority than this.
And
So,
I think you're hearing that confirmed here with the folks
yeah,
on this call, unless somebody wants to speak up that hasn't already, that feels like this would be a high
yeah,
priority.
but maybe there's a really powerful use case we haven't talked about yet for this.
Dennis, can you hear me?
I can, sorry. Yep.
Hi. So one thing I was thinking about, I'm sorry, I'm on my phone, is could the potential of this in the maybe in the medium term be to compete or replace the Consortium Manager product for consortia, and not only be about sharing down vendor records or organization records to individual subtenants, but allowing a central tenant who is doing shared purchasing to manage their own set of organizations and push down things as needed. Because I think there is arguments to be made, like contact information, contact information for vendors, like libraries can find it.
Online.
There's not really like a way to hide that. Like people can go directly to their reps. So
Yeah.
I don't think there's really like
Website.
a, in my experience, at least in a consortium, like you can't really, whether you're displaying that or not, they can find that outside of Folio. But I think there's
Yeah.
certain things, especially in a consortium with like smaller libraries that don't have dedicated staff, like keeping even for their individual resources they don't get to the consortium, that they might get like sh everyone has resources through a certain subset of vendors for the most part. Those vendors all have like the same base URLs for their login, their administrative logins, their interface information. They have the same like support emails. They have the same like vendor address, that is used in invoices. That sort of like, and that stuff changes occasionally, right? And a lot, what I've seen is people can't keep up with those changes. And the more it can be centralized, the less work people have to do to maintain that information, individually, and if they are maintaining individually, it's going to be like, dozens of libraries repeating the same information, right? Like similar to, ultimately similar to like if people all have the same book and are entering that MARC record, 20 times, but at a much smaller level. Like when I talk about ERM and Folio, I talk about like administrative metadata, and organizations is part of that kind of administrative metadata that can be shared. So I think, that's one way to look at about it. If that may have been not been like expressed initially or in response to this Jira, but just thinking about that out loud.
Yeah. No, it's a really interesting comment because at the moment, the central tenant can have its own organizations. None of them are
Right.
shared.
Right.
And The central tenant can have orders now. There are central orders that allow a central tenant to like order on behalf of member tenants or the other tenants in the system. So that functionality, I think, is emerging, and I don't, maybe this doesn't, if this doesn't further that functionality, then maybe that's an argument for not doing this. Or just again, if we were to allow shared organizations, it would need to be that much more complex because you wouldn't want all of the organizations shared, possibly. Or like we were talking about, not all the data. So, yeah, John, you have your hand up. Sorry.
No problem. Yeah, I just want to add in that also, I think having this functionality is so how well it's going to work, I think, really just depends on what your consortium is doing. Thinking about it, for example, as a replacement for consortium manager, so everyone who is on Folio is only a portion of our membership. So, how would that fit in? Would we look to expand our contract to include our non-Folio members to have some kind of access to this, or would we just be doing the work twice, putting it here and there? I think, for us especially, I don't know if this is representative of people on the whole, but there's not a good match between our membership and the people that we're providing an ILS for. So that would be a complication for us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Other thoughts from folks? Mean, I can see a use case for a library where they have central contracts that they want everybody to have the information for. They want it, to Zorian's point, to not have people be creating the same vendor record, 20 times or whatever is certainly a benefit. I'm just in our situation, like John said, it doesn't cover, it's not going to replace consortium manager. And, insofar as we have lo local libraries doing local licensing as well, their vendor contacts or vendor information may vary pretty drastically once you get beyond, the very most basic information. So I don't see it as a huge priority if that's kind of what you're getting at now, Dennis. But if we have if there's other development that's going on that this could feed into, then maybe it does, increase its importance a bit.
I'm just taking a couple of notes here from this discussion. I'll leave a couple of things there. That brings us to the next thing on the list here. So I guess this will give us an example of how different the detail is that we have for these different features as well. That feature, as you could tell, was pretty comprehensively fleshed out, got very close to implementing, but wasn't implemented. This feature is kind of very different story, and we'll see. I think a lot of the other ones are similar to this. So this feature is intended to cover managing authorization policy templates through the consortium manager. I should go to consortium environment. Here. So, yeah, in settings, we have there's an area for authorization policies. And at the moment, well, initially, it wasn't possible to create these from the UI. These policies could only be added through APIs. And this is specific to the Eureka platform. So if you're running Okapi and you are managing permission sets, this might not be familiar to you because this authorization roles and authorization policies are unique to the Eureka platform. And these policies, I'm probably going to butcher this because this is not my area, but these policies are intended to allow you to manage parameters around the use of roles. So, for example, business hours is like here at the top. The idea that like you could have time-based policies that are associated with certain roles, meaning like you can only your role is only active during business hours. Maybe the purpose of this policy or the idea behind it. So you could only actually log in to Folio between 9 and 5 or whatever, or you can only do create orders or whatever your role allows you to do between certain times. And maybe you have a different role that is active during different times of the day or different times of the year or whatever. So time-based policies as an example. There could be other things. So it could be quite powerful functionality. At the moment, those policies are defined within individual tenants. This feature is about allowing those policies to be managed centrally, at least easily to be managed centrally through the UI, through Consortium Manager.
The templates,
So
not the policies themselves, but the templates for the policies, right?
the policies themselves. So, yeah, the word template is misleading here because
Okay.
it's just trying to kind of indicate that you create one policy centrally and then you make that thing centrally managed. Like, as in, the example here is with roles. So, roles can be created through Consortium Manager. If I'm in the central tenant here, I may not have the right permissions with this user or something. I'm not gonna see. Yeah, I can't share this stuff. Is there anything in here that is centrally managed? No. Let's go sunflower. Maybe. Nice. Okay, so we'll go back here. There should be some better examples in Bugfest. There will also be a lot of meaningless examples here. Okay, so this role is centrally managed. So, in the context of the central office, I can see this role and edit this role. Oh, that's why. I need to be in the consortium manager to do this. So in consortium manager, I look for shared role. I see it here. I see it in the one of the underlying tenants. I can see it in the central office tenant, and I can make edits to it. I can see it probably in the college tenant, but I can't edit it only for the college tenant. This thing is edited centrally because it is centrally managed. So the idea of this feature, sorry, that was long and probably confusing, but the idea of this feature for policies is to make it possible to have policies be centrally managed, meaning you create one policy in the central tenant, you share it across all the tenants. Any of the underlying tenants can apply that policy to roles, but they can't edit the policy. Only the central tenant, someone with consortium manager permissions, can go and edit that policy. And when they make that edit, they edit it for all of the tenants that may be using that policy, is the idea. So create policies within the consortium manager app, share the policy to all the members, save policies, selected member tenants. This is the idea of basically centrally managed policies.
Can you give me an example of one that in practice would be sort of managed centrally as opposed to be just I mean, so I think we do have the use case of being able to have sort of a central library of policies that then can be applied by local institutions. I think that's obvious, but the not being able to change them at all is I'm trying to think of a policy that we would have, and maybe Wilhelmina can think of one, a policy that we would have centrally that would literally be the same for everybody and that we wouldn't ever want anybody to be able to change.
So I think let me just say this. I think the one of the reasons why it's worded here as template is that you because it can't be edited in the underlying tenants, it might still be possible to duplicate that thing locally, so they could basically use it as a template.
Okay.
So you could define it locally, and it would then appear, and libraries could duplicate it. Yeah, I was just going to show that with respect to roles, but this search is not.
Go ahead, Wilmina.
I was just going to say, from my perspective, all of them should be just locked in and the same across all members. And thoughtfully considered because that allows posting a centralized user manual. For the statewide Islandora implementation in Florida, we had done that where there were five roles and we had a shared user manual that was built around the Florida implementation. So, like, there was a Duraspace manual, but that was more like if you want to set up workflows, we had like a manual where people could copy paste workflows. There has to be a whole conversation and process of like, what do we want for each one to do? And then like a human written explanation of what each one does. But there should be like user roles that are managed by the consortium the same for everybody, because then two people at different institutions can share instructions and know they're looking at the same thing. Like, if what would be a really bad thing is if there's a way for somebody to break a connection with the consortial one. So, if there is a way to, like, say, okay, this is a template, it should be where if the person is editing it, it does not break their connection with getting updates on that, but instead makes a local copy that has like a weird name and they have to like rename it or something.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Same idea with like duplicate would be they can't edit the central thing, but they could duplicate it locally. If they want to augment it, they would have to duplicate it first.
Can I just say, like, to me, what would be more valuable is like a lot of software will have a way to export settings, like almost like YAML or like an XML export of what the settings are, or even with the permissions, it was possible to just copy paste a list of them and then diff it later. If there were a way to export just a list of what those things are, that would be extremely helpful. I'm gonna look for this one Slack conversation and put it in the chat where it's like a here what we've done is take Justin Barnett, who works with me, he did a CSS that we'll just show some fields and then we're saving that so that we can version these. But having like a little export import and having it where it's just a text file of some sort that could be exported and then import the settings would be extremely useful, and not even like a consortia thing. Like that would be extremely useful for everybody. In the consortial environment, what it would be specifically useful for is that way somebody centrally at the consortium could have like a website where they just say, here's our version we released in, June 2025, and here's our version we released in May 2025. And if there's some kind of problem with their new one, you could locally load their old one while you figure out what it is, or you could diff the two. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, or the libraries could share, like if you could export, maybe you defined a policy at Library A and you run into somebody at a conference from Library B and they say, oh yeah, we're thinking about doing something like that. Can you share the policy you created with me? And you could export it, make
Yeah,
it
because
import,
we have like
make it
here at
easier.
Georgia Southern, we have a really scoped like viewing only the non-confidential data. So it doesn't allow somebody to view user data. It doesn't allow them to get to lists because lists will let you export patron data, or I guess patron data. But we have that, and having the ability to share that with other people would be helpful, because what I've done is if somebody at another member wants to look at a setting, I can just add them and then give them that permission set. But having like the ability to be like e to for somebody to easily import a permission set, or sorry, an authorization role, or export it would also be helpful. And it's not consortia specific, but like shared workflows and shared services is how you save money, not just having like $2 amounts and they're both made up by a vendor and like you show on a spreadsheet save this much. It's like actually just taking the workflow and being able to implement it quickly.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. Thank you.
So it sounds like this is definitely a higher priority than the last one we were discussing for us. This is not yet, so this is not associated with any release, right? Is there
It
additional?
isn't. Yeah, so associated with the release, this I think memory serves mostly because Eureka team has not implemented like create and edit functionality for policies, even in the settings app. They haven't done it. So for a consortium manager, do this theoretically, first it has to be possible for individual tenants to create their own policies. Right now, that can only be done through the API, I think. There's no like UI component. So this is kind of waiting for there to be a UI component. And then we would use that pattern to kind of extend it, the functionality to Consortium Manager. Yeah.
When is that UI component for individual institutions expected?
It looks like it's supposed to be on the list for Trillium.
Okay.
But this is still in draft, so I don't see stories here, so I would be policies need to be revised in the back and before we start this. Looks like they may have to do some refactoring or something before they implement this feature. So yeah, a little unclear, but it seems to me like this might be at risk for Trillium. But I'd have to reach out to Craig.
Okay, so it's maybe a little early to ask folks to kind of to flesh out the
Might be.
user stories here then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, folks could certainly contribute comments to this. If you're reviewing it, or if you think it's, based on what we described, if you think it is important, there aren't any votes for this currently. So maybe it sounds like folks could add some votes here.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've still got your hand up. Is that just you forgot to lower it?
Yeah, I forgot to lower it. I'm typing in the Slack, like the thread that has like what we're doing to try to version. Because I guess like from my perspective, like I do feel like there should be shared like workflows and shared like what people can see so that they can all follow the same workflow, and that should be statewide because that way it's possible to just like take instructions from somewhere and quickly implement them and like save a lot of time. And the only concern with that would be like if the consortium changes something, it's not possible to know what they change, or like being able to like see, does that break anything or does that affect me, and then work around it. And so what we're doing is like being able to export a list of what capabilities are there and then diff them so that we can look at any changes as those are changed over time. But I'll put the thing in chat with
Yeah,
our
like one of
workflow.
the other things that was implemented for roles was a comparison tool.
So the problem is the comparison tool is going to be between two
Ukraine.
sets, and once you've or two
Yeah.
authorization roles. Once you've applied that authorization role to people, you don't want to take it off and put another one on. You instead want to have like, okay, this change is coming. It's coming on this date. Okay, it happened. Now I want to see, know what problems I'm going to be looking out for. Like I'm going to be looking out for problems with this app, or I'm going to be looking out for problems in this area. Like those kind of things. And I would assume that over time, most changes to an authorization role would be like this mod or this thing was rewritten a little bit and some permission got deprecated or some capability got deprecated and got replaced by another one because some database table was deleted and now there's a different database table, like those kind of things. So I would assume most changes are like most things would not or unintentional changes would be the thing to look out for, but just being able to like look at it and manually go back or be able to like, do a little thing that overlays and like changes how it works on a temporary basis while having a conversation, like those kind of things.
Yeah. This is interesting. Yeah, I think it would be. Well, obviously, we probably have to come back to that feature. Do we have enough time here? We only got a
We
few
have a,
minutes
yeah, Lloyd's
left.
got his hand up.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it occurs to me that it would be useful if you implemented this to actually be able to copy these authorization templates to an entirely different consortium. Because if Georgia sets up the structure with their authorization templates and then documents how they do things, if we could copy their authorization templates, then we could copy their documentation and could be a big savings.
This is just to go to Lloyd's point. If you go and click on that Slack message, Thomas tried at Cornell, they have really good manuals, which is what I had adopted here. And he's been updating as they upgrade to a new version, like updating. So he updated to authorization rules and put the link in the on that thread. But yeah,
Yeah,
if there's a
they
way
have
to
been
export and
testing and
import, you could
documenting.
actually have
Yeah.
a really shared manual across different areas. And where it will matter more with consortia is that there are things that are consortia specific. So like all I'm blanking, but like identifying last copy, doing a union catalog, like things like that that are consortia specific, where those would be accounted for.
You got a minor typo there earlier, I think, Dennis. Export and import, not export and import.
Thank you. Yeah, my typing is leaves something to be desired the best of times. Okay. So we have a couple
5 minutes.
more minutes. Yeah, I don't think we're necessarily going to get through the next feature. So maybe we'll. leave it there rather than pushing it too hard. But that's kind of the format, I think, for reviewing functionality with specific product owners. Get them in here, get our group to give them feedback on the functionality. From going through this, there's probably at least one feature, one or two new features that would be created, because I think some of the stuff we talked about is outside of the scope of like centrally managed policies. There might be export import feature, for example, that we would create. So this will help us kind of, again, refine the features, make sure the work is defined at appropriate level for the feature level, and help kind of get everyone's ideas into Jira so that you all can vote on stuff that seems
Yeah.
important to you.
So I think part of the issue with having this group talk through this is we don't necessarily have all the expertise that we need in order to talk sensibly about some of
Yep.
these things on this call. So I mean, John was here today and could talk about vendor records, and was here and could talk about some of the things that they're doing at Georgia Southern, but that's not going to be the case. And also both of them are from Galileo. So, the
Yeah.
other consortium may have different thoughts. So, I think that we can, if we can have sort of an initial discussion, and then the things that, we feel are perhaps rising to the top, I think we're going to need to have a concerted effort to try and get feedback from others with that more technical expertise in those particular areas. Yes, it's consortium functionality, but it's a consortia permissions functionality, consortia
Yeah.
licensing functionality, consortia cataloging functionality. And while I can kind of sometimes have a sense of what is important, the folks who are really can weigh in on how they want that to work are probably not coming to this meeting regularly.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And so maybe there's something that this group can do to help coordinate those conversations happening. Because I think some of the other SIGs, like the acquisition SIG, or may not be well, like consortia may not be well represented there. That's not always going to be true, but it's also tends to be a different conversation when the starting point is in the context of consortia. Yeah, something to think about. Maybe this process needs to be refined a little bit more. Like there's something different that this group does that then kind of gets this conversation started with the right people. Anyway, I'll think about that a little bit too. Okay. Well, thanks everyone. Appreciate the time as always.
All right. Thank you all. We'll see you later. Bye.
Yep.